said over the last few weeks, a lot of people have been talking about the end times. There's rumblings all over, people talking about, hey, this, you know, everything that's been happening over in Israel, everything that's been going on over there, people are talking about how close we are to the end times, that Jesus is coming soon, that people are, you know, some people might even be going out and looking up in the clouds, like waiting for the rapture to take place, you know. But it's, I mean, it's been, it's been getting close, you know. We see all the signs that are happening. We see scriptures being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. And, you know, I've preached about the end times the last few years more than I have probably in the years prior. And I believe that Christ is returning soon, and it's so important that we are to get ready. Last week I told you, get ready. You know, wake up. Wake up. And so it's true. We need to wake up as the church. But in our text today, Jesus tells the church in Philadelphia, he tells them, I am coming soon. He says, I'm coming soon. And so I want to look at what he says. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Revelation. We're reading from chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And he read the first few verses, but I want to read the whole thing here. It says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. That just shows you how powerful God is, right? That shows you how powerful Jesus is. He will open the doors that need to be opened, and he will close the doors that need to be closed. Amen? Look at verse 8. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I love this part, verse 11. I am coming soon. Amen? Jesus is telling you, I am coming soon. Look at what else he says. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. And then this is for us, for all of us. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Did you notice something different about this church? The video makes reference to it, but did you notice something different about this church? Jesus, this is the only church that Jesus doesn't condemn for something they were doing wrong. Philadelphia was a good church. They were a strong church. They were a true believers. I mean, there was no inside forces that was tearing the church apart. There was no outside forces that were tearing the church apart. The believers were serving God. They loved God. They were doing what Jesus was telling them to do. They were doing what God had called them to do. They were being the church the way the church should be. Now, it doesn't mean that they weren't facing persecution, because they were. They were facing persecution. He references it here in this passage. I mean, they were being, you know, they were being hammered from all sides. But they were being the church that God had called them to be. And as a matter of fact, this church was suffering. They were staying true to Jesus. They were being attacked by their stance, by a group of people that claimed to be Jews. But Jesus called them the synagogue of Satan. He called them liars. He said, this group is awful, they're evil, they're terrible. And Jesus tells the church, because of their endurance, he's going to keep them from the hour of trial that's going to come on the whole world. Again, here is a promise that Jesus intends to keep. Amen? And in verse 11, he tells the church, I am coming soon. He didn't give a timeline. He didn't say, hey, I'm coming next week. Hey, I'm coming in 6 months from now or 10 years from now. He didn't give them a timeline. He says, I am coming soon. Acts chapter 1 verse 7 says, He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. And I want you to know this. One thing that you should know as a believer is God's time is not the same as time like we know it. He's on a whole different timeline. He controls time. He controls the seasons. He controls the day and the hour. He controls everything, and He has full and total control of the time. He says, I am coming soon. And I want you to know that we do not know here and in other passages that God will keep us from the hour. We do know here and in other passages that God will keep us from the hour of trial. The same phraseology is found in John 17, 15. Look at this. John 17, 15. He says, My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Also, the reference here is to the church being caught away. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. I'm going to explain all this in just a minute. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. We find the same foreshortened view where Paul includes himself and the Thessalonians when he writes in 1 Thessalonians 1:10. He says, And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. You see, God wants us to live in the light and hope of Christ's coming. So what is said to the Philadelphia church, it applies to us as well. He's going to take care of His people. He's going to protect His people. He's going to take us out of here someday. Amen? God is going to pour out His wrath upon this earth. It's going to happen. We can read about it. We could go on and do an entire study on the book of Revelation, and I can show you all the wrath and all the tragedies and all the things that's going to take place on this earth. But before those things happen, God is going to come. He's going to send His Son to take His people out of here. He's going to rescue us from this wrath. Some people believe that we will go through the tribulation. But look at our text again in verse 10. It says, Since you have kept My command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. He loves us. If we as believers, He cares for us. He wants so much greater for us than we could even possibly imagine. He loves us so much that He is going to protect us from the hour of destruction. The believers, we're not merely to be kept from Satan, but kept out of a time that is coming on all the world. And the Greek clearly means from or out of, not through. That's what it means. What it's saying here is it's going to take us out. It's going to take us out of this, and we're not going to have to face this. We're not going to have to face destruction. And as believers, we are looking forward to the rapture of the church. That's something that we look forward to. We call it the blessed hope. It's something that we are looking forward to. We are anticipating. Now, does that mean that we stop doing everything that we've been doing? Does that mean that we just get relaxed and we just go sit in a corner somewhere and say, well, we're going to wait till Jesus comes and takes me home? No, that's not what that means. That means Jesus said, continue to do what you are doing. Continue to keep working. Continue to make sure that everyone has heard the gospel message. It's so important that we make sure that everybody understands and knows what God is going to do and what God is going to happen and that He's going to take care of any believers. When Jesus comes back to His church, 1 Thessalonians 4, I read one verse here a few minutes ago. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 through 18, He says, For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I want to say something here real quick. Yesterday we were at an antique store, and I saw a trumpet. And I thought, man, you could really mess with some people. Just pick that trumpet up and just start blasting it in that antique store. You know, people are either going to think the rapture took place or going to think something else is going on, you know. But I mean, we could really have a lot of fun, right? You just go to a building where it's real quiet, and all of a sudden you just start, you know, start playing some kind of trumpet tune, and people that are believers will either get excited, or people that know the truth are going to start freaking and panicking out. They're going to look for an altar somewhere so they can get right real quick, right? But we could have a lot of fun with a trumpet. But he continues on. That was just a thought. Verse 17, it says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And verse 18, I love this, and you need to put this to heart. You need to understand this. He says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Did he say that this should scare you? Did he say that? Did he say that this should just make you afraid? Did he say that this should make you worried? No, what did he say? He said, encourage one another with these words. In other words, this is encouraging. This is something that we can look forward to. This is something that we can get excited about. This is something that we can be ready about, right? One of these days, Jesus is going to burst through those clouds and he's going to come back for his people. Amen? And that's some exciting news. This passage and one other talks about this event. Now, we know that just before those that are alive and are raptured out of here, those that are dead in Christ will be resurrected first. And at the same time as the dead in Christ rise, followers of Christ who are alive on earth will be transformed, their bodies becoming imperishable and immortal. And this is going to happen in an instant. It's going to happen so fast, so quickly. And both the resurrected Christians and those who are instantly transformed are going to be caught up together to meet Christ in the air. They're going to be visibly united with Christ, taken to heaven, and reunited with loved ones who have died knowing Christ. And they will be removed from all suffering. Hallelujah, amen. There will be no more distress. They're going to be removed from all persecution, from all oppression, from the entire realm of sin and death. The rapture also rescues Jesus' followers from the coming wrath, the great tribulation. That's something that we have to look forward to. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 51. He says this, I love this. He says, listen. In other words, Paul's trying to get your attention here. He's saying, listen. I tell you a mystery. Anybody like mysteries? Anybody like seeing a story that's a mystery that you don't know what's going on, and then all of a sudden you watch it and you say, oh, I didn't realize that was going to happen. You know, he says, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be what? Changed. Now, I don't know about you, but I think all of us would want to find something about ourselves that we'd want to change, right? There's all of us have something. We say, you know, we see it all the time. People, all the time are trying to change something about themselves, right? They either go on some diet or they go and get plastic surgery or they go try to do this or they try to do this. We go get our hair cut, right? I mean, we do all these things. We're always trying to change something about ourselves that we don't like or we're tired of or something we want changed. But this is going to be a change that will last forever. It's going to be an amazing change. And look at verse 52. It says, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. This is going to be an ultimate change. It's going to be a change that takes place. It's going to be fast. It's going to be quick. It's going to be just unbelievable. And then look at verse 53. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. Verse 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Amen. That is something that we can rejoice in. Hallelujah. That's something that we can get excited about, to know that there is a change that's going to take place. It's going to take in a twinkling of an eye. It's going to be quick. It's going to come. It's going to go fast. But, you know, they'll be giving new meaning to the fast and furious, right? I mean, it's going to come just quick and fast. And Paul says it will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, changed instantly. And I want you to think about this for a moment. There is about an inch distance between the front of your iris to the back of your retina. And this is fast. Listen to this. Light travels at 186,000 miles a second. That's fast, right? I mean, that's super fast. I mean, that is just, you know. At that speed, it takes about a 64th of a nanosecond to travel 1 inch. And that's how fast we will be changed. An instant change. Boom. As soon as that trumpet sounds, it's like all of a sudden, bing, you know, we're changed. How awesome is that? That's something to think about, isn't it? 1 minute, the way you see yourself now, the next, boom, a resurrected body. I mean, how many of you would like to go and look in front of a mirror and just snap your fingers and all of a sudden you were changed and ready for the day? I mean, would that not just be awesome? There's no thought process there. There's nothing to think about. I mean, you just go and you just say, oh, mirror, just pick something out for me, right? Bing, you know, and all of a sudden, boom, you're changed. You're ready to go. I mean, you can go out and face the day, right? Well, that's how fast this change is going to be. It's going to be just like that. It's going to be quick. It's going to be instant. And it's going to be marvelous. And it's going to be amazing. 1 minute, you're sad. The next, our tears will be wiped away for good. Hallelujah. 1 minute in pain. The next, no more pain. When you read about the post-resurrection accounts of Jesus' body, he could manipulate his molecules to pass through walls. He could eat fish. He could travel over long distances instantaneously. And that's what our resurrected bodies will be like. When Jesus returns, we'll get those bodies in a 64th of a nanosecond. Isn't that just crazy? To think about all this thing. And this is going to be an amazing event, one like never before in history. So when is this going to take place? When will the rapture take place? The First Thessalonians 4 passage that I read to you is the most direct and clear teaching on the rapture in the New Testament. It speaks only of believers living and dead. Nothing is said about the wicked seeing Christ at this time. Paul described Jesus as coming in the air, but nothing is said about his feet touching the earth, as we are told in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. It says, on that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and on the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. There are passages which pertain to the rapture that describe the coming of the Lord for his people. And there are passages which refer to the revelation of Christ that describe the coming of the Lord with his saints. These are two different events. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This speaks of believers appearing with Christ at his coming. Jude chapter 1, verse 14 says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. This verse foresees the Lord's return with his people to execute the judgment referred to in many other passages relating to his public appearing. And since Scripture does not contradict itself, it seems reasonable to conclude that the passages describing Christ coming for the saints and with the saints and with the saints indicate two phases of his coming. These are two separate events. The rapture is different from the second coming of Christ. Christ, when he comes for the rapture, he will not touch ground. He will call his people from the clouds, and we will go to be with him in the clouds. So I believe that it is scripturally correct to assume that the intervening period between the two is the time when the world will experience the great tribulation involving the reign of the Antichrist and the outpouring of God's wrath on the wicked. There are two different things. Sorry. The rapture will take place. 7 years of tribulation will take place. Then Christ will come and establish his kingdom and will reign for 1,000 years. I know some people get caught up. They get wrapped up. They don't understand that there's two different events. There is the rapture of the church where the church leaves. The tribulation takes place. Then Jesus comes back, and it's a glorious time when he comes back and he establishes his kingdom to, well, he comes to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Although God's people may endure severe trials before the Lord comes, the church will be raptured before the period called the Great Tribulation. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. The passage following the one on the rapture of the church. Remember I read to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now we're going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it says this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the passage following the one on the rapture of the church, Paul taught about the day of the Lord. He warned of the destruction it will bring to the wicked. And he was quick to assure Christians that those who abide in Christ will not be overtaken by it. Look at verse 4. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Now, still speaking of the day of the Lord, Paul wrote in verse 9, he says, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it seems clear that he meant the deliverance of believers from the judgments of the day of the Lord, including the great tribulation. And I truly believe that we will be raptured out of here before the tribulation period. Now, there are some that believe that we will be raptured midway through the tribulation, and there are some that believe that we will be raptured at the end of the tribulation. It doesn't matter which one you believe. You need to do research for yourself, and while you are going through it, I will see you at the millennial reign of Christ, okay? Because I'm not going to be here. I truly believe that I'm going to be raptured out of here, and I'm not going to face the tribulation. I believe God is taking his people before the great tribulation. And don't let this be something that will cause division in the church. This is not something that we should fight about, argue about, or anything. We should all be ready for whenever the Lord comes back. Amen? We should all be ready for his return. And we should make sure that we be speaking and talking to other people. And what does it say in verse 18? Therefore, encourage one another with these words, right? We are to encourage one another and let everybody know that, hey, Jesus is coming soon. What did he tell the church at Philadelphia? I am coming soon. That's something to be excited about, right? That is something to rejoice about. Jesus is coming soon, and we don't know when it'll be. We don't know what time or day or hour or anything when he's coming, but we just need to be ready for his coming. Amen? That's something to rejoice about, right? That is something to get excited about. Hallelujah. I don't need that. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Hallelujah. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. So keep serving the Lord, because he will reward you when he comes. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back to claim us, and he's coming back to change us, and he's coming back to welcome us into an earthly kingdom under his rulership, and nothing and no one can stop him. Amen. And that's something that we can be rejoicing about. And one last thing I want to tell you. In Revelation chapter 1, when John saw the resurrected Jesus as he is now, he said this, verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. In Jesus' first ministry on earth, Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was gentle and meek, okay? Today, though, listen to me. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. Amen. He is powerful and he is mighty. He is so magnificent, he took John's breath away. How awesome is that? John could not even stand in his presence. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is our conqueror. He is our Savior. And that's why we can put our faith in Him and know that He is going to walk with us each and every step of the way. And whenever we have trials and when we have problems and we have everything that doesn't seem to be going right, guess what? We just grab a hold of Him and know that He is going to walk with us every step of the way. Hallelujah. And that's something that we can be excited about and rejoice in, is that He is good. Jesus, who is returning, and His return is going to be glorious. Hallelujah. It's going to be mighty. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be magnificent. Every promise He makes to you in Scripture will be as true during the tribulation as it was at the time of your birth. And let me close by reminding you of something. Look at verse 13 of our text again. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This word today is for you today. Amen? He is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Do you remember what this means? This is for all of us. Jesus is coming soon, and you need to make sure that you are ready. This is not something to be scared of, but it is something to rejoice about. God is up to something, and He is getting His church ready. And I said this last week to wake up. It's what I said last week. We got to wake up as a church. Today I'm telling you to get ready. Amen. Get ready because He's coming soon. He's coming soon. That's something to rejoice in. That's something to be excited about. That is something to rejoice. Can we stand? Can we stand all over this place? We're going to sing a song. If someone could holler at Kent. There he is. This is something to rejoice in, amen? This is something that we can rejoice in. We can worship the Father. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants something great and glorious and wonderful for us. He loves us so much. He's coming back for His people, amen? This is something that we can get excited about, the fact that He is coming back for us. He's coming back for His church. He loves you and I. He cares for us so much, and He wants so much for us that we can just come in, and that's why we come and we worship Him, because He's our Father, He's our Creator, and He loves us and He cares for us. Can we just take a moment right now? Let's just worship the Father.